City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Amy Matheny.
This program is brought to you in part by American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
Sexy voice, sweet and low. So sweet to the taste, so hard to say no. Temperature rising, breaking out in a cold sweat. Weak from a hunger, I try so hard not to wear. Sweet talking devil whispering in my ear. Don't find what you like, just give in dear. Sweet talking devil whispering in my ear. Lord, help me stay strong and stay clear.
And you're listening to the Windy City Queercast, show number 617. I'm Amy Matheny, and a glorious start to our week here. We are deep into March, and happy St. Patrick's Day for those of you who survived the weekend of the river turning green and many, many people turning green, too, because of the amount of alcohol consumption. Good Lord, when did St. Patrick's become about just drinking? It's pretty obnoxious, honestly. I love that on CBS Sunday Morning this weekend, they had, they do a little editorial at the end, and the editorial was all about the fact that, you know, LGBT people have not been allowed to march in the Boston St. Patrick's Day parade. And this year they allowed the gay and lesbian veterans to march. And this guy was saying, you know, just how ironic that the Irish Americans would disallow anyone to be a part of, that the whole spirit of it was inclusion, and that they, of any group of people in the States, would know what it is to be disenfranchised. So I thought that was really, really cool that on CBS Sunday Morning, fairly mainstream and show, and a show that I think a lot of older people watch, but I love it. It's one of my favorites, and I guess maybe I'm an older person now. Who knows? That's a scary thought, but possibly true. Probably true. I guess it's true. That would have been their editorial for the weekend. So I thought it was all very, very cool. Anyhow, Erin Go Bragh and all that good stuff to all you Irish out there in the city of Chicago and those who enjoy St. Patrick's Day and celebrate the holiday. We are very excited today to be able to sit and talk with one of the directors of the Garage Rep at Steppenwolf Theater. Steppenwolf, just a world-renowned theater company here in Chicago, who is doing a lot to mentor young companies, directors, writers, and productions here in Chicago. Lesser-known companies, smaller companies, giving them an opportunity for some mentorship there at the Garage location, the Garage Theater, as a part of the Steppenwolf Theater Company. And they're doing a lot of queer stuff, as two of the three plays definitely have a queer edge to them. One of those is a play with Pride Films and Plays, a local company, very new, just in its first 5 years, finding itself at the Garage Rep at Steppenwolf. So super cool. And their production of Angry Fags, controversial title, I imagine, and provocative, just as the subject matter is. It has been Jeff recommended, and we're so excited to be talking with the director, Derek Von Barum, here on the show about that and about the entire rep and just the good work that Pride Films and Plays has been doing to give voice and a format and attention to new LGBTQ voices in film and in Theater. So that's very exciting. And also lots going on in the landscape of LGBT news and theater, other theater here in Chicago. So it's going to be a great show. Ooh, go put on your green. I might have to pinch you.
I'm Kirk Williamson.
I'm Amy Matheny.
And this is the Week in News. On April 28th, the U.S. Supreme Court will hear 2.5 hours of oral argument on whether states can ban same-sex marriage. Audio transcripts of the argument will be released later that day. Among the amicus or friend of the court briefs that have been filed with the U.S. Supreme Court in support of marriage equality is one signed by more than 200 mayors, including Dallas's Mike Rawlings. Rawlings had previously said he personally supports marriage equality, but he had been reluctant to make a political stance on it.
More than 200,000 people from all 50 states, as well as Puerto Rico, Guam, America, Samoa, and the U.S. Virgin Islands, joined as signatories on its unprecedented The People's Brief in Support of Marriage Equality. Authored by attorney Roberta Kaplan, who successfully defeated the key section of the Defense of Marriage Act before the Supreme Court in 2013, the item has more signatories than any other amicus brief that has ever been submitted to the U.S. Supreme Court.
The United States Army issued a directive that protects transgender soldiers from being dismissed by mid-level officers by requiring the decision for discharge to be made by the service's top civilian for personnel matters. The new policy is the latest indication that the military's ban on transgender troops may be eased or even lifted.
California Governor Jerry Brown introduced several firsts to the state's judicial system during his third term, including its first openly lesbian appeal justice. Brown made 237 judicial appointees between 2011 and 2014, with nearly 40% of them as minorities. Of the 76 judges he appointed in 2014, 35 were minorities, including Therese M. Stewart, the first openly lesbian justice to serve on the California Court of Appeal.
In the latest development in the tug of war over marriage equality in Alabama, the state Supreme Court ordered all the state's probate judges to stop issuing marriage licenses to same-sex couples. Several state and federal judges have gone back and forth over the issue, with the U.S. Supreme Court recently refusing to block a U.S. District Court judge's ruling overturning the ban, a move that allowed gay marriage to begin there on February 9th. However, the state Supreme Court decision threw the issue into question once more after a challenge was brought by the state and a county probate judge, among others.
The 28th National Conference on LGBT Equality, Creating Change, will take place January 20th through 24th, 2016, at the Hilton Chicago. Close to 5,000 LGBTQ community leaders and activists from across the country will attend the conference. For more, visit creatingchange.org.
The LGBTI community is represented on Time Magazine's newly released 30 Most Influential People on the Internet list by transgender activist Janet Mock and YouTube star Tyler Oakley. They are part of a list that includes President Barack Obama, Beyonce, Taylor Swift, Justin Bieber, and Jimmy Fallon, to name a few. Also on the list is powerful right-wing conservative blogger Matt Drudge, whose site, The Drudge Report, racks up almost 1 billion page views every month.
The Reverend Ann Cansfield was appointed the department's first female and first openly lesbian chaplain for the official fire department, City of New York. Cansfield was sworn in by FDNY commissioner on a family Bible held by her wife. Their 4-year-old daughter, Grace, also attended.
The Southern Poverty Law Center has announced a settlement of its federal lawsuit alleging that gay students were routinely bullied in a South Mississippi school district. They sued the Moss Point School District in December 2013 on behalf of Destin Holmes, now 18, but also said other gay and transgender students, or those who are perceived to be, were subject to mistreatment. The district has agreed to adopt and implement new anti-bullying and anti-discrimination policies and procedures, as well as equal educational opportunity policies to ban bullying and harassment based on sexual orientation and gender identity.
In Florida, the transgender community of Tallahassee took a stand against a discriminatory bill that would criminalize the community's public bathroom use. Activists gathered to protest House Bill 583 on the steps of the Capitol building. HB 583, which would criminalize the use of public facilities that do not match one's biological sex, passed the House Civil Justice Subcommittee on a 9-5 vote. The majority of the votes came from House Republicans.
In world news, Islamic extremists have beheaded three gay men in Iraq. In pictures published on social media, it shows men blindfolded and knelt in front of a huge crowd in an unidentified province in the northern city of Nineveh. A masked executioner dressed in black wields a long and rusty sword. Under Islamic State-imposed Sharia law, homosexuality is punishable by death.
Slovenia has become the 11th European Union country to approve same-sex marriage. Deputies have voted in favor of legalizing adoption by gay and lesbian couples as well. Worldwide, Slovenia will become the 21st country to legalize same-sex marriage once the president signs the bill.
An angry mob stoned a young, allegedly gay man to death in Jamaica and filmed themselves hurling rocks at his head. The video of the murder of the alleged gay youth, believed to be aged around 19 to 21, has gone viral on social media. The identity of the murdered youth and many of the other details of the stoning are still unknown. Some have reported the victim was gay and had visited underground gay venues in Kingston.
The Japanese Education Ministry has issued a document to schools and the Education Board requiring educational institutions give attention and support to LGBTI students. Local media reports that LGBTI students are often abused and bullied on Japanese campuses, while experts and scholars are recommending schools carry out effective responses earlier to prevent suicide.
Hundreds of thousands of people packed the streets of Sydney's gay village to watch the annual Sydney Gay and Lesbian Mardi Gras take place for the 37th year in a row. Tens of thousands of people participated in this year's parade, including members of Australia's Armed Forces.
World Rugby has signed a historic pledge to eradicate homophobia in the sport alongside international gay rugby. The organization's pledge to recognize and respect the right of any player, official, and spectator to be involved with rugby without discrimination on the grounds of sexual orientation or identification, as well as the common goal of inclusion and the elimination of homophobia in rugby.
In entertainment news, Extra host and former Saved by the Bell star Mario Lopez will preside over the 2015 Miami Beach Gay Pride Parade and Festival as Grand Marshal. As Grand Marshal, Lopez will lead the parade that is expected to draw more than 100,000 spectators on Sunday, April 12th. Lopez is a longtime supporter of GLAAD.
GLAAD will honor Golden Globe and Emmy-nominated actress Kerry Washington at the 26th Annual GLAAD Media Awards. Washington will receive GLAAD's Vanguard Award, presented to media professionals who have made a significant difference in promoting equality. And the Point Foundation will honor Jeffrey Tambor, the 2015 Golden Globe winner, for his performance in the hit Amazon series Transparent, with the Point Courage Award.
HBO's award-winning documentarian Sheila Nevins is making a film about the life of late gay artist Robert Mapplethorpe. Mapplethorpe's most controversial work is that of the underground bondage and sadomasochistic BDSM scene in the late 1960s and early 70s of New York. He died in 1989 of AIDS at the age of 42.
Vimeo announced a partnership with the oldest and largest distributor of LGBT films, Wolf Video, to bring its entire collection to video on demand. The collection features more than 150 titles from Wolf's catalog.
Anika Noni Rose has been tapped for the lead in CBS's civil rights crime drama pilot, For Justice, helmed by Selma director Ava DuVernay. The project is based on James Patterson's debut crime novel, The Thomas Berryman Number. It centers on a special agent who works in the criminal section of the Department of Civil Rights Division.
And Barbara Walters has donated $15 million to Sarah Lawrence College to build the Barbara Walters Campus Center. The center will be a venue for events and will include spaces for students to socialize, dine, and it will hold Walters' papers and video archives. Walters attended Sarah Lawrence and graduated in 1953.
And that's the Week in News brought to you by Windy City Times.
Hello, everyone. I'm Coco Peru, and you are listening to Windy City Queercast.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Queer.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get some culture in your
For the week of March 16th, 2015, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Lifeline Theater continues its 32nd season of Big Stories Up Close with One Came Home, a world premiere adaptation of Amy Timberlake's award-winning coming-of-age novel. One Came Home runs Thursday through Sundays through April 5th. Tickets and more at lifelinetheater.com.
The Broadway smash hit and classic musical comedy The Cause of All is now at the Marriott Theater in Lincolnshire, playing through March 29th. Feathers get ruffled and households upended in a poignant tale of one family's struggle to stay together, stay fabulous, and above all else, stay true to themselves. Visit MarriottTheater.com for tickets and more.
Don't miss the American premiere of the scandalous play The Glass Protégé, a tale of forbidden gay love between two male movie stars in 1940s Hollywood, brought to you by Giant Cherry Productions in association with Glitterati Productions. Tickets available now at theaterwit.org. The Glass Protégé is playing now through March 29th.
Experience The Diary of Anne Frank like never before. Joining 13 actors in the intimate Writers Theater bookstore space for a powerful and authentic portrait of a young girl clinging to hope in a time of tragedy. We discover the moving classic that the Chicago Tribune called truthful, deeply engaged, and extraordinary in the telling. For tickets, visit writerstheater.org. The Diary of Anne Frank is now playing through July 5th. At the Intimate Books on Vernon venue in Glencoe, just minutes from downtown Chicago on the Eatons or Metro. And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
Hello, Deb Pierce here, letting you know that we'd love to hear back from you. So go ahead. You know you want to. Post a comment.
You got your blind ambition and it's dragging you all over town. You wanna play your music, better show your stuff for the knockdown. It gets you down before you know it. You turn around and do it again. You gotta love the life.
Films and Plays has been on an unstoppable track record this year with hit productions of Some Men in the Fall, the extension of Book of Mormon from Mary's Attic to the Apollo Theater this month, and now their Steppenwolf debut as part of the Garage Rep with Angry Fags. Derek Van Barum is an artistic associate of Pride Films and Plays, or PFP, and he's the director of Angry Fags, and I'm just excited to have him here to talk about this production, what it means for the company, and also just a little conversation, since they are carving the path right now, on where we are with queer theater and queer stories today. So excited to have Derek with us. Hey, Derek, how are you?
Hey, Amy. Thank you so much for having me. It's great to be talking to you today.
Well, you're the hardest working. I say you and David Zach, the artistic director, are like the hardest working two men in theater in Chicago right now. I mean, talk to me about this year that PFP is having, that Pride Films and Plays is having.
Yeah, it has been a wonderful year for us. I mean, we came off of last season with a couple of Jeff nominations and a Jeff Lynn for the Children's Hour, and then just, you know, used that momentum, went straight into the Chicago premiere of Some Men by Terrence McNally, which David Zach and I co-directed together. Yeah. Which was just a great ensemble piece, and we got to use so many people from the company and just really showcase a lot of our talent.
Our theater series went to go see that. And what's amazing is that it feels, you know, it seems like Pride Films and Plays does this wonderful thing, like you mentioned the Children's Hour, you mentioned Some Men, of like these, you know, deeply rooted classic kind of plays. I mean, Some Men is not old like the Children's Hour, but it talks of our history. It really roots and tethers our company to where, I mean, our community to where we've come from. What was kind of the power of directing that piece? Because I know it really struck a chord with audiences here.
Yeah, absolutely. You kind of pinpointed one of the things we loved about it is it was just such a retrospective. And, you know, for a company like us that's, you know, a few years old and was looking back on a couple of seasons, it was really nice to utilize all of the ensemble, but also utilize our different strengths. You know, like David and I work differently as directors, and it was nice to have a show like that that was structured in scenes and vignettes in different mm-hmm. time periods mm-hmm. where, you know, he would focus on one scene and then I would do the next. And we kind of went back and forth like that. And because of that, I think it just really enriched the whole experience and kind of gave that show the depth that it had. It had never been performed in Chicago before, so it was a premiere for the city, mm-hmm. Which was something that also really excited us about it. And, you know, and it went back to our roots. One of the first things we did as a company was a Terrence McNally Festival of Readings. And so mm-hmm. it was great to be able to do a full production of one of his works that hadn't been seen here in Chicago yet.
Well, and the company Pride Films and Play started in 2010. What was kind of the mission? I mean, how did the company come about? What banded you all together?
David.
You know, David Zack
definitely was sort of the spearhead for getting the company together and just reaching out to like-minded people who really wanted to focus on developing great new LGBTQ work. And that's kind of where we started. You know, our first year was festivals and readings and just getting into these new scripts and developing relationships with playwrights that we still have today. Mm-hmm. And that was sort of where we got started. It was just like, let's just get people in a room together and read these scripts that have not seen the light of day yet. Mm-hmm. And you know, and a lot of those have gone on to be produced by the company. But yeah. But that was pretty much it. Just sort of saying, you know, there are new stories to be told. There are this whole breadth of just new work out there that isn't yeah. getting seen by audiences and by readers. And we kind of wanted to champion that new work. And and that's sort of been our mission all along.
Well, two things that I love about this mission of, you know, these forums for new work. One is that you have a whole festival that is just dedicated to women. To women writers, mm-hmm. women playwrights. Talk to me about that and what has kind of come out of those efforts.
Yeah, with Women's Words, we've spent a couple of years now really just focusing in on female artists and trying to get as many female directors and playwrights as we could together, and even hosting events like one-night-only events like LesFest, which get queer performance artists in the same room together, and it's just a completely different atmosphere, mm-hmm. you know, and it's so much fun and such a treat for people in our ensemble like Libby Lane, who has really been sort of the champion the last season with the Women's Words Festival. And we've even hosted, you know, we've got our Queer Blitz Festival, which is focusing on gay films, and even been able to have a LesFest night of films just focusing on lesbian films that mm-hmm. we were able to do this last year, which was also really great.
And just for the listeners who may not know, is mm-hmm. when you're working with the film part of Pride Films and Plays, are you actually working with screenplays or are you actually working with produced films?
Yeah, so both, actually. That's an excellent question. So one of the things that's been a part of our season, we have our great gay play contest, which is gay scripts, and then we have our Women's Words Festival, which is scripts written by women with lesbian themes, and then we have our gay screenplay contest. So we have a series of readings of new screenplays where we kind of give them heightened reading so that the screenwriter can come and sort of get a chance to see some of it up on its feet, you know, and for a lot of the people we work with, we give them the opportunity for the first time to actually hear their words out loud. So mm-hmm. it's very valuable. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, with working with the screenplays, we do have our Queer Bits Film Festival series, which we do a few times every year, which is actually screening, getting together in a room. We've been doing it at the pub theater, the public house theater, the last two times that we've done it, just getting everybody into a room, having a drink, having some snacks, and just watching some really great work that's already out there. Yeah. Just giving people a chance to see it.
Well, you started off talking about Some Men in the Fall being this huge success, but you mm-hmm. followed that with the huge success of a new work that I believe was derived from some of your readings, Book of Mermen, which is, tell me about Book of Mermen and how it came about, and did you expect it to be this successful, moving from Mary's Attic to the Apollo and extending its dates?
Yeah, I think the story that David tells is, I think the Book of Mermen came from, as many great plays do, from a somewhat tipsy conversation just on the wordplay of Book of Mormon.
Mm-hmm.
And he and Leo Schwartz, who has worked with the company before, he wrote Under a Rainbow Flag, which, you know, was a big hit for us a few seasons ago and won a couple of Jeff Awards for the company. So Leo's been with the company for a while, and they just kind of got together, and Leo developed the script, and just sort of, it came from this really fun idea of a couple of Mormon boys ringing a doorbell, just like they do at the beginning of the Book of Mormon, and who opens the door but Ethel Merman, and just how silly and fun that sounds, and how you almost can't say the premise without giggling, is sort of how we knew that it was going to be a hit.
Mm-hmm.
And we've always kind of said that from the time it was developed and we put it in our season, was just that it's the middle of winter, and it's been a very hard winter here in Chicago.
Yes.
And just, we knew that people would be excited to just go to a place like Mary's Attic or the Apollo, where there's a bar where they can bring friends and have a good time and just, you know, have a wonderful, entertaining evening of theater and just have fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, and it's exciting because, you know, we're going to now talk a little bit about Angry Fags, but what's awesome is that Book of Mermen is still playing at the Apollo Theater, so people can get tickets and find out about that show and everything at pridefilmsandplays.com, and we'll have that linked in our show notes in case you haven't seen Book of Mermen, because it's hilarious, and it'll be interesting to see have audiences see it at the Apollo now, or, you know, audiences who may, it's got kind of show you could see more than once, you know, but you could go see it
absolutely.
At a different venue, which is really, really fun. So how did you find Angry Fags? How did the script come to you, and what is the story, and what about it captured, you know, made you all want to produce?
Yeah, the script has been with us for a while. I first heard about Angry Fags. Out Magazine and The Advocate covered it when it was produced originally in Atlanta, which is where the playwright Topher Payne is from. And the title of the article was Flaming Justice, and it included a synopsis and some production photos from the production down there. And I was just really interested in it, so I emailed Topher and found out we actually both grew up in Mississippi, so had that in common right away, which was wonderful. And he sent us the script, and we did a reading of it about a year and a half ago. We did a reading, and you know, it's a very funny, dark, challenging, edgy script. And just from that reading, we had like a 90-minute talkback session where no one in the audience left, and there's just so much to talk about in it, which is one of the things that I think attracted the Steppenwolf Garage to it when we first pitched it. You know, we were trying to find places for it in our season, and just trying to figure out how to get our subscribers and our typical audience to kind of go on this journey with us, is how David likes to put it a lot of times, because it's definitely it's a different kind of show for us. It's a little darker. There is some violence in the show. It's very political, and those are, you know, issues that we've tackled before, but this one is very we compare it to Quentin Tarantino films a lot. It's like if Noel Coward had written the script for a Quentin Tarantino play, this is kind of what it is. But, you know, the Steppenwolf opportunity came up, and so we pitched the idea, and it worked out perfectly, you know, because we've got the support of Steppenwolf and the mentorship of all of their people kind of letting us know, well, how do you get audiences to sort of take a risk with you? You know, how does the company get to a place where you can sort of take a risk and say, hey, this is a show that we haven't really tried before, but, you know, we know you love Book of Mermen. We think you'll actually really like this too, even though it's totally different. But so it's a very, very exciting time. I mean, we've got some days where both Book of Mermen and Angry Fags have a performance, and we're trying to figure out some fun, like, ticket deal where maybe we, like, have everybody hitch a ride from one theater to the other together, because it's just such a great experience. And they're only a couple of blocks from each other.
They're
the Apollo
not
and
far.
The Steppenwolf Garage, Yeah, not far at all.
Well, so tell me about the rep. I mean, the garage rep at Steppenwolf is, you know, is like you said, a wonderful opportunity for a company that's, mm-hmm. You know, barely not even 5 years old. Mm-hmm. How does it work? And I know you're sharing the rep with two other companies. That's kind of how it works, right? That you
correct.
All get to share kind of some of the same resources. And be an introduction, hopefully, to Steppenwolf audiences and other audiences to all of the three companies. So tell me just a little more about the garage rep as you know.
Yeah, so, you know, any company can apply. This is something they do once a year, and several companies apply because it is a wonderful opportunity. And they end up selecting three companies, so we all had to go in and sort of pitch the show and also just pitch the company and, you know, what we were hoping to gain from the garage, because it really is a long-term relationship and a mentorship from Steppenwolf. You know, we found out late last summer that we were part of the garage and have kind of been working with them ever since then on everything mm-hmm. from casting to marketing to dramaturgical questions, like you name it, they've been there for us, which has wow. been really great. But it's us and Cold Basement Dramatics and Red Tape Theater. So mm-hmm. Three younger companies. And every week's a little bit different. It's a rotating rep. So, you know, some weeks we perform on Wednesday night and then don't have another show until Saturday afternoon because the other two companies are performing on other days. Mm-hmm. But it's a shared space. You know, every night we have to put our set up and we take it down and we hide it behind the curtain and mm-hmm. another show sets up. And so it's fun. I mean, it definitely, you know, there are challenges in doing a show in rep like that. Right. You know, I don't think a lot of artists are accustomed to doing a show and then not getting to do it again for 4 days sometimes, you know,
yep,
so
yep.
It's a different set of muscles to kind of remind everyone to stay focused and do what they need to do to really just keep their head in the game. I mean, I've had the same thing, you know, I'll have a note on like a light cue or something, but we won't be able to fix it for 4 days. So I'm mm-hmm. just like walking around with this light cue in my head for 4 days.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been a lot of fun and we've learned so much as a company. And they've been great. I mean, pretty much any person in our company has had the opportunity to go to the coordinating Steppenwolf person for advice. You know, our dramaturg has gotten to talk to their dramaturgy team. When I was casting the show, I got to talk to Erica Daniels just about casting philosophy and how mm-hmm. she sort of looks out for their ensemble, because we also have a really large ensemble at Pride Films and Plays. And just, you know, how do you utilize the ensemble and keep everyone happy, but at the same time really serve the play?
Yeah.
And so it's been great, and it's kind of been like that since the beginning, and we're almost there. You know?
Yeah. It's pretty extraordinary. And what's really cool about this rap, because Red Tape will be presenting The Walk Across America for Mother Earth, and that's by Taylor mm-hmm. Mack, which is kind of cool because mm-hmm. he's a queer, I'd kind of call, you know, queer radical performance artist, which rocks.
Yeah.
And that's directed by Bonnie Metzger, openly lesbian director and writer Bonnie Metzger, with Eric Hoff working on that piece. So there's some good queer energy happening up in the rap. And you guys with Pride Films and Plays doing Angry Fags, with you directing, and Topher Payne is the playwright. And then Cold Basement Dramatics is presenting Heat Wave by Steven mm-hmm. Simonich. I think I'm saying his name right. Simonich?
Mm-hmm.
And so tell me... tell me about this story of Angry Fags. I mean, who are we getting? It seems like, you know, I was thinking about queer theater before, you know, kind of in preparation to talk to you today, and just thinking, you know, the 90s were kind of, because my background was rooted as well in producing some queer theater. And, you know, I was thinking like the 90s were kind of like the AIDS plays, right? They were the mm-hmm. plays that kind of were evocative of to us of loss and families, created families, and politics, extremely political. You know, those are the plays of the 90s. And I was, you know, kind of trying to wonder, like, what were the thousands, you know, like, you know, maybe more diverse. Maybe we did start to see more love stories. Maybe we did start to see parenting stories. Maybe we did start to see us merging into the mainstream and being in collusion with that. And I'm just kind of curious, like, what are the themes today? Because I think of some other plays and some plays that even Steppenwolf has done, thinking back on their work with Good Boys and True by Aguirre Sacasa. Also thinking back on FML, Fuck My Life, that was an exploration of Carson McCullers' play with Sarah, openly lesbian playwright Sarah Gubbins. And now on to Angry Fags, which would intimate that we are dealing with younger generations, I'm kind of hearing, like these themes of, in all three of those plays at least, that Steppenwolf has chosen to kind of embrace, either on their main stage or studio or now rep, seem to be looking at this next generation. And what is Angry Fags trying to say about, you know, our... you know, about where we're going and about our future and what the what the drama, you know, what is the dramatic tension that we're still facing as a community?
So many things, Amy. the big one I think that I take away from Angry Fags, and I'll say this first, and then I'll just kind of tie it into the plot. It's just, I think one of the things that Topher Payne, the playwright, is really saying is that we shouldn't be complacent. You know, we've made a lot of progress and great work has been done, but we're not all the way there yet. And there still are fights to be fought. And, you know, it's rooted in Atlanta, you know, and I think there are things going on in the South right now. There are things going on all over the world right now that show us continually that we're not there yet. You know, as much good news as there is to share, and there can be these scripts that are about celebration and parenting and taking the new boyfriend home for Christmas, you know, those are great and we love those. There still are stories to be told about people living in Atlanta who are afraid to walk down the street every night and hold hands, you know. And so one of the main topics in the play is actually taking the It Gets Better campaign and kind of just turning it on its head a little and saying, you know, it's not enough to wait till it gets better. You actively have to make it better. It's one of the things that the play says a lot. And for me, what that is just making the most of whatever the situation is. And, you know, the situation in Chicago is a lot different than the situation in Alabama or in another country, you know. And so to me, it's sort of a cautionary tale about activism getting a little too angry and what happens when two guys take action without really thinking of the consequences. Again, it's a very funny play and it's rooted in the humor of like 80s and 90s sitcoms, and it has this Oscar Wilde wit, but it's about these two best friends who are both gay, and one of their ex-boyfriends is the victim of a hate crime. And when the police aren't doing anything about it, the two of them decide to take matters into their own hands. And it just sort of, it's very fantastical and surreal at some points, and how far it goes and how quickly it gets there. But it's a comedy for as long as it can be. And then the tragic circumstances of the world around the character starts to encroach on them. And then by the end, it's just sort of it's a completely different beast of a play. So it's very dense with lots of topics. Like I said, when we did the reading, just a staged reading with book in hand, it initiated a 90-minute conversation that was very entertaining and heated and passionate. And so I'm excited to see what a full production does for audiences. Because I think it's gonna make people laugh. It's gonna shock. It's gonna entertain, and I think it's gonna leave people with a lot to talk about.
Well, I am so excited to see this production, and I know hopefully anyone listening, city or suburbs in the Chicago area, you know, we don't often do things that those of you who live, you know, on the other side of the country, but I think it's a really interesting conversation about, you know, a theater company starting today, a queer theater company starting today at this point in our history. Excuse me. You know, because it's really... we're just at such a different place, and being able to kind of leverage off a very sustained, strong organization like, you know, Steppenwolf, that's, you know, decades and decades and decades old on that foundation. But really to really, like I said, leverage that, that is a springboard for this, this new story that needs to emerge from our community. And I think that, you know, Pride Films and Plays is doing an excellent job in doing that in all areas of storytelling, whether that be on the page or on the screen or on the stage. And it's really, really cool. And it's awesome. We have two things to promote for you guys. So everybody, reminder that The Book of Merman is playing at the Apollo Theater as well. So you can get tickets for that at pridefilmsandplays.com. And I'm not sure, is that in an open run or is that got a closing date at this point?
Currently, I think it's scheduled through April 7th, I believe. Okay. But with the hope is, I mean, the goal is an open run. So see it.
And so that's going to be linked in our show notes at pridefilmsandplays.com. Also, Pride Films and Plays is presenting Angry Fags by Topher Payne, directed by our very own Derek Van Barum. And Angry Fags is playing now. So you can go now through April 26th in the Garage Theater at Steppenwolf. That's 1624 North Halsted Street. And for tickets and information for that show, go to steppenwolf.org. And you'll note on their calendar at Steppenwolf, it's very, very easy to see, but when you select which one of the shows in the rep you want to come and see, then, you know, as Derek mentioned, there are different days as a true rep would be. There are certain days you can see one play, certain days and times you can see the other play. And so you want to go to steppenwolf.org to get those tickets. And what's really amazing is that they have the opportunity that if you love to go see theater, and I know many of you do listening, that, you know, single tickets are only $20. So they are making it affordable. They want people to come out and see these new plays. And these are fully produced plays. You know, even, you know, the Garage, they're fully produced, fully rehearsed. You know, these are full plays that you get to see a Steppenwolf for $20. So that is a, you know, a gift right there. But also, if you think you want to go see more of these plays, and as I said, you know, Red Tape is also doing some queer work in the space. They have a festival pass for $25 where you can call Steppenwolf or go online at Steppenwolf, and you can see all three of the shows for $45. And they do have student discounts. They have a limited number for $15. And then they also have half-price rush tickets 1 hour before each show. So encourage you to get your tickets soon, though, because it's in fairly intimate space and it is at Steppenwolf. And so tickets go fast. And as buzz builds on these shows, they're going to sell out. So don't wait to set your date to go see Angry Fags and any of the other shows in the Garage rep. The Walk Across America for Mother Earth by Red Tape, and also Heat Wave with Cold Basement Dramatics. And Derek, thank you so much. I think you should go take a nap, a really long nap. And hey, but before you do, just so you have some dreaming material while you nap, and take David Zach with you. What is next? What is next for Pride Films and Plays? I mean, what's down the pipeline that you can tell us about?
Yeah, more new work. The next big thing on the agenda is our gay play contest for this year. I selected our five finalists. It's four plays and a musical. Two female playwrights are involved, which we were really excited about. So we start rehearsals for those, and those will go up at Center on Halsted in May.
Fantastic. Something right in time for Pride. So that
yes,
is great.
Absolutely.
That is great. Well, Derek, thank you for being on with us. I hope everybody will check out pridefilmsandplays.com, find out everything that these guys are doing. check out getting some tickets to Book of Mormon. Maybe that double feature thing will happen where you can go see Angry Fags and Book of Mormon in the same night. And Angry Fags is now playing through April 26th at Steppenwolf. Visit steppenwolf.org. Thanks, and have a great run.
Thanks so much, Amy.
Got something to say? Call us today, 312-21-BE-GAY. Well, everybody, I hope you have a great week. Stay safe. Enjoy the weather warming up just a little bit. I always say this is a major psych out. We get a little good weather in March, and then it gets cold again in April and May. So don't believe this is really here to stay, but it is a nice reprieve, and we'll take it. In our upcoming show, Mitchell Fain will be on with us, hopefully for one or two more shows before he heads and sets sail on his cruise ship with Second City. So we're going to try to get a little good dish from him. We're going to talk about the Empire finale, the season finale, the 2-hour finale, and much, much more. But so, you know, you'll have that to look forward to. And then in upcoming weeks, Tracy Baim is going to have an in-depth conversation with us about the LGBT youth homeless situation here in Chicago and a way in which you can play a part in helping those of our community who need us and need a leg up and need some attention and mentorship and support. So I'm very excited about that conversation with Tracy. She's really been at the forefront of some activism working in this city to try to help our LGBTQI youth homeless. Have a great week, everyone. And Mitchell and I'll be back with you next time. Thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. Special thanks to our Queercast family, Kirk Williamson, newscaster, and Di Sturkey, production editor. I'm Amy Matheny, your host. Please comment on our shows at WindyCityQueercast.com and iTunes. The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it. Subscribe today. Windy City Queercast, queer and now.